We come today to the last animal, our teacher, the dragon. We need to pray. Lord Jesus, you are the great King. Speak to us by your word and spirit. Strengthen us as a people to call on your name. We ask your great blessing in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Revelation 12, 1 through 17. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pangs and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. And on his heads, 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, in which she is to be nourished for 1,260 days. Now, war arose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back, and he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short." And when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But the woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle, so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she might be nourished for a time, and times, and half a time. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. And the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. And he stood on the sand of the sea. Will Florida's Burmese pythons move north? That is not a pleasant question, especially when I read in this same article in which the question was posed, the answer, Washington, D.C. They could go that far. Heaven forbid. We don't like snakes. You might have heard my story. Have you ever heard of, or have you ever found a snake in your front bedroom? I hope not. My grandmother did. She said, "Craig, I just found a snake in the front bedroom. I knocked him in the head. I threw him out on that pavement and beat his head to a jelly." Well, we're dealing with a snake today whose head needs to be beaten to a jelly. We're dealing with a dragon who needs to be dealt with in the same way. We're dealing with a monster. And a great sign appeared in heaven. A great sign appeared in heaven. A sign, we're told by the commentators, signifies the appearance of a great personage. A great personage. So a great personage is about to appear in heaven. And we read, it is a woman. A woman. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. I would encourage you all to read Dr. Thomas's commentary on Revelation, because I've enjoyed it. And before I quote it too much, I don't want to steal it, so I'll tell it. This woman who is clothed in the sun, whose feet are on the moon, whose crown is 12 stars. Who is she? She is the church. She is the church of the Old Testament day, and she is the church of the New Testament day. She is resplendent in her glory. She is crowned with the 12 stars representing the 12 tribes of Israel, from whence the church of the Old Testament, of course, sprang. Jacob, Israel of old. She is that person, not a literal one person, but the person of the church, the work of God in the world, His place where He does His saving work in the history of the world. And she is resplendent. She is glorious. She is clothed in this magnificent scene. We remember Joseph when he talked about the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. And of course, all this is symbolism. And it's symbolism of what God is about and what He is doing, and He's teaching us through signs and symbols in this chapter dealing with the dragon. What's happening to this woman? She is pregnant. She is about to give birth. She is at the moment. There is suspense. There is a great moment of breathless expectation as we look at this scene. And then in verse 3, another sign, another personage appears in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads, 7 diadems. 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. He's red. What in the world is this? This is none other than the serpent of old. This is the serpent of Adam and Eve's ruin. Come to fruition, as Dr. Thomas says, the serpent has now morphed into a dragon. And he is there. And he is very, very powerful. He is very, very evil. He is very, very deceitful. He is very, very tricky. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Did God say, you shall not eat of the tree, any tree in the garden?" And you know what happens. And he says, "You shall surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And she took of its fruit and she ate and she gave it to her husband, who also ate. And both of their eyes were opened. Both of them had their eyes opened. And they knew that they were naked and they hid themselves. And God ultimately comes to the garden and he says to them, "What is this that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me. He is a great deceiver. And I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." We realize then, this is that one, this dragon that is being spoken of in the book of Revelation. He is one who is masquerading as God, ultimately. He appears in that great scene in that red. Not that God appears in red, but he is appearing in what seems to be a form that says he has all power. Seven heads, complete knowledge, complete understanding, crowns, complete authority. 10 representing power, world power, or all power, if you please. He is that ancient serpent, we read in verse 5, called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. Deceiver of the whole world. He's the one that makes good look bad and bad look good. He is the one who leads us down that path to that point. And then he has us, and then he'll say, "Look who you are. Look what you did." He is the great pretender. He is the one who makes himself kings and thinks himself king, thinks himself complete, thinks himself all-powerful. His tail, we read in verse 4, his tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now this is no petty snake. This is no petty snake. This is the one who pulls down the stars of heaven. What do we know of him? In Isaiah chapter 14, if you've never heard this, listen especially carefully. "How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn?" And in the old King James, it may be more familiar. "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Lucifer, son of the morning. "How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart..." Now this is going to say who he is. You said in your heart, O Lucifer, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is the one, that great angel of the morning, who would take over God's throne and become God, if he could. Of course, here he is cast down, but he brings down a third of the stars with him. Some say he brought down a third of the angels with him. There's hard to interpret some of this. Pharaoh was one of his minions. Pharaoh, now don't get lost in it. It says this in Ezekiel. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lies in the midst of his streams, that says, my Nile is my own. I made it for myself. You see how Satan can take over a person? I made it for myself. I will take over God's throne. And he wants us to be like that. Son of man, raise a lamentation over Pharaoh. I will throw my net over you, and they will haul you up in my dragnet. And then in Isaiah 27, in that day the Lord, with his hard and great strong sword, will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. All through Scripture, we realize that God is at enmity with the dragon, with the serpent of old. And we realize that that serpent of old is at enmity with those who stand with God. And there is great, great conflict. And we should not expect it to be any other way in this world as long as time shall last. Do not be unguarded. There is a great serpent, and he is in more than the bedroom. He is after us. And he has no good wish toward us or our loved ones or our friends or our country. And he will say to all, the very worst thing is the best thing. But there is good news. There is great news. Verse 5. She, meaning the church of the Old Testament day, she gave birth to a male child. One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. This woman has not been thwarted in giving birth, in doing what God has ordained her to do. God says of this child, of this one who is to rule with a rod of iron, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree of the Lord. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Kiss the Son. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. This son, this male child who is to rule all nations, he is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason It says in 1 John 3:8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the snake. And it took his coming to do it. None other could. Therefore, it says in the book of Hebrews, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. He has come then to make atonement for our having followed the snake. He has come to sacrifice himself that we might be set free from the dominion of the devil. That is the great news of this birth. I still look back at some of the birth announcements from my birth, and they even spelled my name wrong. I look at my son's birth announcement and how we treasured all those things and look back on them with joy. But this is a birth announcement of real substance. This one who is to rule all nations, who is coming to do the work that no other human being could ever do, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we realize he was caught up. He was not able to be destroyed. He was finally caught up to God's throne, and the woman fled into the wilderness. Of course, this is a sign of the ascension of Christ after his work on the cross. And the church, of course, being left here. Now, in verse 7, and now there arose war in heaven. What has been going on earth, now we see the inside story of what's going on in heaven. And boy, this is a picture. We are seeing into the holy things, the holy places, the mysteries of this universe. War rose in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fighting against the dragon. Can you imagine? Nothing that Spielberg could ever come up with could ever equal what was happening and could happen. And he, that is, the dragon and his angels were defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down. And his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, for they love their lives not even unto death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. What rejoicing in heaven. What great glory has appeared there in the work of the Lamb, in his ascension, in his coming to take his place again at the Father's right hand. The blood of the Lamb has been shed. His work has been accomplished. The Son, yes, was a sacrifice. He, yes, ultimately though, was not held in death's grip, but he was victorious and rose from the dead. How do we fight in our day? I would point to these scriptures. They have conquered him. They have conquered the great dragon by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How do we conquer? We say, Lord Jesus, I rest on your blood shed for me. I am not resting on any good works of my own or any efforts of my own or any pedigree of my own. I am resting on what you have done. Your blood shed for me. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. We know that. And his was the blood that was effective, not that of goats and calves, but his own blood poured out for us. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. That old hymn, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. May we not forget that we have one to whom we can call and appeal what he has done for us. Lord Jesus, help me. I know you died for me. You sacrificed yourself for me. Save me out of this situation. And of course, he's promised that he will. He's promised to save our soul. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said as he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to him for baptism. He is the only covering, the only way to God. You have been raised with him, it says in Colossians. Raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. Some of the debts so that we can pay the rest? No. All of the debts he has canceled by his work. But we must not forget that the book of Ephesians tells us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, over spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Satan has not been killed. He has been given a mortal wound, but he acts as though he doesn't know it. And he is still at work. He's still trying to reign and rule here. And God forbid that we forget what he is about. We can stand. We can stand by his work. We can stand by his word. We can stand through his Holy Spirit. I'm reminded of that great hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are. And it goes on to say, my beauteous dress, midst flaming worlds. This world is going to always be on fire with the works of the devil, as long as time lasts. But in Jesus' righteousness, we are arrayed if we are in him. And with joy then can we lift up our heads. Bold shall I stand in that great day, in thy great day, for who aught to my charge shall lay, fully absolved. Through these I am from sin and fear and guilt and shame. On and on it goes, and the climax is still building. The woman has been able to flee, the woman who is the church, and this is where we are today. And the dragon has sent out a flood against her. But in verse 14, but the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured out from its mouth. I'm not talking about a literal river. It's a sign from the children of Israel fleeing from Pharaoh, fleeing across the Red Sea as the sea opened for them, and then it swallowed up Pharaoh, the serpent king, we might call him. He pursues the woman. We are that woman in a sense. He's against us, but God has promised that He will protect His church. Does that mean we will not go through suffering? No. Might we go through a hiding place situation like Corrie Ten Boom? Yes, we might. I close. In several situations lately, there's been a very sad time for families. And all I could say to them was from Psalm 56. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. I know that God is for me. And that is our hope this day, that God has provided a sacrifice for us to silence the serpent, to ultimately and finally slay him. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who gave His only begotten Son for us. Let us pray. Gracious God, You say that no weapon fashioned against us shall succeed. That is our heritage as servants of the Lord, and our vindication is through You, Lord Jesus. O Lord, mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, we wait the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious our longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. So, Lord Jesus, may it be that we might see the Savior and see the serpent slain. In Jesus' great name, amen.